What is going on, dads? And welcome to The Betwixt. It's episode 64, recorded on Thursday, September 23rd, 2021. Our first Thursday. I am your host, John, here with the watermelon fries, Ryan, howdy. Dylan.
How's it going?
And our first mom after dark, it's my wife, Michelle.
Hello.
And thank you for joining us tonight for some Nintendo Direct. All right, guys, we're all together. So this is our Watermelon Fries crew. We have been playing through Overcooked 2 for, I think, a little over 2 years together. We went about a year and a half without seeing each other. And now we're all here.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yay!
And today we had a Nintendo Direct, and we decided that we wanted to talk about it. In fact, the Direct was a couple hours ago now.
Two and a half hours.
Yeah. We are still high on hype and excitement, and every one of us got our dream, which usually doesn't happen. Oh, come on, Dylan. We know you got your dream. We all knew it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through all the games in order, and we're going to talk about what we want to talk about, just what we care about. So let's go. And we couldn't start off with a better game. The Direct starts off with the announcement of Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. This is a DLC expansion for Monster Hunter Rise. And luckily for us, everybody, we have a Monster Hunter expert on the show. Dylan, what did you see here?
I'm no expert.
Oh, you are.
Okay, so I really like Monster Hunter Rise. The only problem that I had is that it didn't really have that much content. You were able to get through all of the single player and even like the multiplayer like story stuff in like 20 to 30 hours, which was kind of a letdown. I mean, the gameplay is so refined, so it's really awesome to see that they're giving us an expansion, and it's similar to what Monster Hunter World had with Iceborne, I'm guessing. So it's pretty much going to be its own game. We didn't really see anything except for that new Elder Dragon they showed off, which we don't even know its name. So we don't really have a lot to talk about, but this is something that pretty much everybody was expecting to happen. So it's good to see that they're giving us a full expansion just like they did with Monster Hunter World. I'm excited for it. I'm guessing you're going to have to pay like, you know, $20 to $40 to download the expansion.
Oh, really?
Okay. But I'm sure it'll be worth it. Yeah, it's not going to be free. It's going to be similar to, you know, like I said, Iceborne was with Monster Hunter World. It's kind of going to be like the Octo expansion was for Splatoon 2, where it's going to be good. But you're going to have to pay extra for it.
How beefy was that? Like, how many hours would you say?
Well, I didn't do Iceborne, but the Octo expansion was a lot. It was probably like, you know, like 15 hours, I'm guessing. So with this, it's going to include like probably a dozen new monsters. So it's you can't really compare it to something like Splatoon.
Okay.
It's like you have to make all these armors and all these weapons from all the new monsters they give and learn all the new monsters. And there's going to be story content. I'm guessing it'll be like half of the game.
Wow. Okay. And yeah. And is it like one of those kind of expansions that it's like completely separate, or your character moves over, like you're using your character? Yeah.
I mean, obviously I don't know the actual answer to that because it's not out yet, but I'm guessing that it's going to be, you move your character over, because I mean, in Monster Hunter, your character doesn't level up or anything. All you have is the equipment that you have, and you're going to probably make new equipment with all the new stuff in the new expansion. So it's, I mean, yeah, your character is going to move over, but it's basically going to just be a whole new game.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm excited for this. I keep seeing, we just got the Mega Man, robot dog that's already out, right?
Right.
That came out this week.
Yeah. So they've been releasing small updates like that. The last big update that we got was when we got the Crimson Glow Valstrax. Since then we haven't gotten any new monsters, and the only new content that we've gotten is like cosmetic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
and this is coming out summer 2022, which is actually perfect. It gives 9 more months to play before that comes out. Also, Monster Hunter Rise is on sale for $49.99 right now.
Cool.
Yeah, there's a big sale going on. I think we talked about that earlier, but yeah, that one's on the list. First sale, they said, for Monster Hunter. Next up was Mario Party Superstars. We just got some more details about this game. It's coming out October 29th. Anybody here picking that up?
I mean, I'll probably get it. I got the other one. I got Super Mario Party and kind of just passively played it, and it was unimpressive, but I mean, this one, it looks like it's bringing up the, it's bringing back the boards from the N64 Mario parties, and those are everybody's favorite. So, I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good time. It's just nothing remarkable.
I'll probably pass on it, mostly just because I got the first one and then had a hard time finding anyone to actually play with me. So I figure I won't do that again with this one.
It's online now. You can play online. I haven't tried it, but you can play the original one online.
Can you like match up with randos?
I think you can play your friends.
I think it's only friends. It's only friends.
I'm
and then everybody needs a copy of the game, so it's not as easy as, you know, just sitting down in a room.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it would be as fun over the internet. I think just it's one of those things everybody clamored for, and then you get it, and then nobody was really excited about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
This one's interesting. Voice of Cards. I was telling Michelle, the voiceover guy, he did his like when there's something dramatic happening, he'll like lower his voice to a hush, you know? And he did it with this one, and it was just really weird because it's just a card-based RPG. So
right.
I don't know what the drama was about, but that one's coming out October 28th. Demo is coming out today. I checked right before we started recording. I hadn't seen it yet. I wanted to give that a try, but I don't know. It didn't look that great.
I have no interest, personally.
I have no interest. I don't like games like that anyway.
The art looks so good.
Is it the cards or the RPG, Michelle?
Probably both.
She's just waiting for the other announcement. All right. We were told that the Smash Brothers reveal, this was actually kind of weird, that the Smash Brothers reveal is coming out October 5th. This is for the final character. I was actually happy because it meant that of the 40 minutes of the direct, we weren't going to spend 7 of them looking at a final character.
Totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah. Same.
So a couple weeks. Do we have any guesses on who this is going to be? It has to be something like epic, right?
So I have a theory that it's going to be the villain from Brawl.
Oh, really?
But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's the final character, so it's got to be something. Like, they can't just throw, like, Ryu Hayabusa in there, you know what I mean, and expect people not to be upset. I mean, people are going to be upset regardless. But I think it's got to be a first-party character, and there's no, like, they can't do, like, Master Hand, because that just wouldn't vibe well with the rest of the cast. It's, like, it's a whole class. So it's got to be, I mean, it can be whatever it wants. Sakurai can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yes.
I think it's got to be important, though, and I think that it's got to be somebody that's iconic to Smash Bros. Specifically. But, I mean, who knows? I really have no clue.
So, no one's going to be happy unless it's Waluigi.
That's true.
That one would make everyone happy.
Would it?
I think it might be something like Master Chief to sort of, like, usher that, in a...
I think that'd be cool.
To usher in a... To, like... Usher in the new era of the Microsoft Nintendo partnership, but
yeah, Michelle,
that would actually be pretty cool.
Michelle, who's your dream Smash character?
Mr. Drippy.
Who's that? Who is Mr. Drippy?
He is
from Ni No Kuni.
Oh, that wouldn't happen. But
I know it wouldn't happen. But...
That would be awesome. I still say it should be Lara Croft, who I think is the most famous, iconic video game character that is not in Smash.
So who owns that? Is that Square Enix?
I think it is Square Enix. But we've seen other Square Enix characters in the game. So that can't be
right,
a problem.
Like, I know, I'm not saying that would be a problem, but it might be a problem because we already have too many Square Enix characters. I don't know.
Nah, nobody would care.
I feel like if we're going to get a Square Enix character that's a big deal, it's going to be Kingdom Hearts Sora.
Yeah, no big deal. I don't know.
But Disney's not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it could be, but nah. We need Lara.
I just feel like, I mean, Smash Brothers, there's just a lot of like same... cluster of characters from the same kind of games. I mean, I always play Kirby because Kirby's the best. He sucks everybody up.
So if we analyze the existing DLC characters, because I think we need to look at DLC characters specifically for what we're going to expect. We've gotten 3 characters from fighting games, so we're probably not going to get any more of those.
No.
And then we it's just kind of been random slops of stuff. Like, we got Min Min, and then Byleth, and those are the only like Nintendo characters that we've gotten, as far as I can remember. So
you're not going to have a sword. I mean, it's not going to be a sword fighter because they don't want to hear it.
Oh God, Sakurai would be murdered
by a sword.
Maybe it'll be the cat from Splatoon.
Ooh,
Judd. Yeah. Yo! I hope it's the Fire Emblem, like just the actual Fire Emblem.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
People can't complain that it's a sword wielder because it's just going to be
a shield,
a Fire Emblem.
It's a shield.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. I can't wait for October 5th now. I'm just curious.
It's Tuesday. For us, it's Tuesday at, I think,
it's in the
8
morning.
A.m.?
Yeah, it's in the morning.
Yeah. It's either 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. I checked earlier.
I look forward to forgetting about it and then you guys spoiling it. I was so excited for the next one for Ryan, Disco Elysium, the final cut. It is coming out October 12th digitally and 2022 physically, which freaking sucks. Like, come on. We've been waiting for this game forever. Like, please. So you're going to be playing
at least
one?
At least they said straight up to also wait for a physical if you want that. Because there's so many of those games where, like, they release it on digital and then 6 months later they're like, oh, and we're going to release a physical.
Yeah, because they know you're going to double dip. So
yeah, I probably will go digital because I have been looking forward to this game on Switch in particular for a long time. So,
and it looks
and
pretty
then
good.
I'll probably end up buying it. I'll probably end up double dipping, but
I'm
going to say I'm not, but I probably will.
So. I'm going to wait for it physical only because there's so much coming out in October anyway. I can wait. And if it comes out early 2022, then, I mean, usually there's not much the first 3 months of the year, even though we do have several games we know of the first 3 months. But it looked great on like what they were showing. I was kind of afraid it might look a little gimpy or whatever, but I'm really fascinated to see this game.
Yeah, it looks like they lowered sort of like the shadows, the shadow detail and all that. But otherwise, I thought it looked pretty good. So
it would pay not to even look
I'm
at
excited
it.
For it.
Like, don't look at any videos of it on another system and then it won't look bad.
Nothing to compare it to. That's the way to go.
Then we got information on Hyrule Warriors Expansion Pass Wave 2. That's coming out October 29th. Nobody really cares about that game anymore.
I actually have a friend that's really excited for it.
Oh, gosh. So
yeah,
that's good. I'm glad somebody is excited for that.
My normal podcasting partner, Drew, played this game. We played it together, and he played it to 100% completion. I was going to go there with him, too. We were both going to go to completion, guys. And the game gets so dry and so repetitive, and I got to like 57% and I couldn't bear to play it anymore. And he went all the way to 100% and it was like the most torturous thing. So he doesn't actually want more content because then he'll feel compelled to play it. But it looks like there's some new playable characters and levels and stuff that have already been here in Wave 1. But no news that they fixed some of the graphics either.
I don't know how this game got 2 DLC packs, but I think
it's getting 3.
I didn't know that.
It was really fun, but like the graphics they could be choppy at times. But I don't know if you've ever seen the story of it. It's sort of a branched story from Breath of the Wild, because a lot of people were concerned that, well, we know the ending of the game because it's the beginning of Breath of the Wild, but that it's not. It's a timeline branch. So it got really interesting. The story by the end of it was really fascinating. I just wish it looked a little better.
I just say bring on Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, and we didn't get any information.
I agree.
I didn't expect us to get anything from Breath of the Wild 2. That's probably going to be holiday next year, because what's our holiday game this year? Pokemon?
Yeah.
No, we have... Disney Magical World 2. Oh, we'll get to that one.
Right. That's it. That's it.
Actually, I know. No, you know what my holiday game is going to be? Is going to be the Advance Wars Reboot Camp. I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's not like a big AAA holiday game, but I'm excited for it. And they didn't talk about that. Like, I didn't think they would either, because they don't need to talk about it. There's nothing new. It's just nothing the new. Old games.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they didn't need to talk about
Maybe
that.
Maybe we'll get another
I am
direct.
Very excited for that.
All right. So we have Chocobo GP. Obviously, every
Mario Kart
IP. Yes.
Oh God. So when I was watching that, they were explaining like, oh, you get items from the Magisite and you can drift. And I was like, yeah, I know how to play Mario Kart.
Oh my gosh.
And it honestly surprises me that they put a Mario Kart clone in a Nintendo Direct with a spotlight like that.
I mean, we have Sonic already. We have Crash. We have Final Fantasy.
We have Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon. Crayola.
Oh, yeah, Crayola.
I mean, how do you forget Crayola? It's the best one, Dylan. All right. Then the Direct got a little boring. Some Kirby game got announced. Then Animal Crossing. No.
Just leave Kirby alone.
So Kirby and the Forgotten Land. The only thing I will say about this, and then I'm going to let our resident Kirby fanboy and fangirl talk about it, is that this game looked exactly like The Last of Us. Come on, Ryan. Didn't it look like The Last of Us? I was like, is this like a cell-based Last of Us we're about to get here?
I said when they started showing, I was like, it looks like a zombie game.
Okay. Yeah. So what? Okay. So when they first revealed it, we saw the mall, and then after the mall, I think did it transition to anything else? Like it just went to the beach, or
it was
no?
A bridge.
It showed the bridge, and then the beach. So what did you guys think it was before we saw Kirby? I was thinking it might have been Splatoon, but when I saw how vibrant the colors were, I was like, it can't be Splatoon because Splatoon always has kind of muted colors, so the ink shows up well.
Mm-hmm. I thought
that it was Splatoon at first.
I thought it was going to be Splatoon.
You thought it was going to be like a cartoony Last of Us on Switch?
Yes. I don't know how. It looked exactly like Last of Us. It really did.
I thought it was like Animal Crossing because everybody left their game, so it's all desolate.
So one of the reasons I thought it might have been Splatoon at first is because when I looked at there was like posters and stuff in the mall. And when I first looked at those, I was like, that kind of looks like the wacky Splatoon stuff that we have in maps. Because in Splatoon, you can like go to the sides of maps and there's just some weird advertisements and stuff. There's like this one with an octopus with a bunch of shoes on. And there's this one with this painter guy. Like there's weird, weird art. And that's kind of what it made me think of. And then as soon as I saw Kirby, I was shocked. I was like, what? This is a Kirby game?
We all felt
yeah,
for you.
I also thought it was going to be Splatoon. I think it looks really good. I think, like, they've never really done this before with Kirby, right?
So 3D. We've gotten two 3D Kirby games. The first one was Kirby's Air Ride on GameCube.
Oh, yeah.
Which, great game, and you can move around in 3D as Kirby and stuff, but it's not like a traditional game. And then on the 3DS, we got Kirby's Blow Up Blast, which was pretty much just a mini game where there's no abilities. It's just inhale and spit out, and it's like basically a high score chaser game. So when it was actually showing Kirby like run around in 3D, I was like, oh my God, this looks awesome. But they took their time showing us Kirby get an ability. And I saw the fire enemy, but it didn't show footage of Kirby eating the fire enemy and getting fire. So I was like, oh, this is just going to be like Blow Up Blast where there's no abilities. And then finally he gets sword. And I was like, yes. So it's like an open world 3D Kirby game, which I never would have expected. And I mean, I expected a 3D Kirby game, but I expected it to be more like traditional ones where it's like level based. But this legitimately looks like an open world game, like almost like a Mario Odyssey. Maybe not that ambitious, but still, like, it looks really good to me. Kirby's always kind of awkward to control in 3D. Like, in Air Ride, it was just very awkward to run around and get your bearings and stuff. Especially because, I mean, in his games, Kirby's got full mobility. With the exception of Kirby 64, you can go anywhere on the screen you want. So it's going to be weird being able to, like, fly really high and fully explore the map. But I'm super excited for it, and I love the whole aesthetic of, like, exploring a lost island that's abandoned or whatever. I think it's going to be really good. And I'm really glad that they finally took the plunge and brought Kirby into 3D because of, like, the original core Nintendo characters, he's the only one that never got a 3D game.
He's rendered in 3D.
Yeah, he's like, Kirby, yeah. Kirby needs it.
It looks
amazing.
Kirby
has a lot of destruction to do.
it felt like an Odyssey-type game. So I think, you know, we haven't gotten an Odyssey 2. But it looks great. And I really didn't like Star Allies. I kind of found it boring, and I'm not like a huge,
you're not alone there. A lot of people didn't like it. I think Star Allies really proved how dry the 2D Kirby formula has been, because both of the 3DS games felt so good. And then we get pretty much the exact same thing on Switch, and nobody really liked it. Like, the only thing people liked about it was all the DLC characters they gave us.
There was. It felt like a game that was multiplayer. Like, whenever I was playing with all the NPCs, it felt like I just didn't have any friends to play with or something like that. And
like, well, the game was so easy, too. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure that the Kirby and Forgotten Land is not going to be a hard game, but I do hope it does have some challenge. It looks like it's going to be single player, which I'm actually good at. I'm actually happy about that because
yes,
oftentimes I've noticed in Kirby games, multiplayer, all it really does is make the game easier.
Exactly. Yeah.
Plus, I like that the enemies actually look like enemies, because usually like Kirby enemies are like a tree and it's all happy and it's throwing apples at you.
Like, Kirby bosses in particular are always like demonic world eaters. So I'm sure that it's going to get super messed up by the end, just like every Kirby game always does. But yeah, I mean, so if I can remember, let's see. So they showed off the abilities. We got fire, we got sword, needle, cutter, ice. Those are the five that they showed off. And then I think I saw a spark or plasma enemy in a bush. But I'm really hoping that we get at least like 15 abilities, at least two or three new ones. I don't think that's too much to ask for.
Yeah, I hope
the bosses are cool.
I'd like to see the Odyssey style where, you know, if you just want to roll credits, it'll probably be something a kid can do. But then there'll be like more advanced challenges and stuff if you want to be completionist about it. And I think that would help address some of the difficulty concerns where it's like, okay, but you can go much further with this. That would be fantastic.
Well, I could talk about this game. So sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
I like to see Nintendo doing this, like taking a franchise, an IP, and just totally mixing it up and like totally changing the formula. So, and I think it looks great, but I also really love when they do this because it always turns out well, I think. So
I think it'll be great.
Yeah, 100%.
It didn't seem finished, obviously. I think it'll develop over time because it did feel a little empty, kind of like the same thing we saw with like Arceus, where it like feels a little empty-ish, but I think by the time it lands, it's going to be a lot better. All right, so that's spring 2022.
Yeah, I could talk about that for the rest of the podcast, so we definitely need to just move on. I could analyze that frame by frame.
And you will. Animal Crossing finally jumps on the screen. Michelle's heart races a million miles an hour, and then we are told...
This guy, there I'm holding Brewster...
Brewster is
coming on Animal Crossing.
So before you start, Michelle, I'd like to just give my two cents because I probably don't have as much to say as you do. We kind of already knew that they were going to add Brewster just because certain characters would mention him by name in specific conversations, and we knew that like a month after the game came out. But they're adding him. They're putting him in the museum to the left of the art exhibit, which I think is good because people have already really crafted their island to be super, super specific. So they would have to move a lot of stuff around to try to make room for an actual coffee shop. So throwing him in the museum was good. It's a little weird that they're putting him in there like on the left though, because now the right just doesn't have anything. It's like kind of lopsided. So I feel like we might get another update eventually where we get to do custom art exhibits. Like we could a new leaf on the right. Something like that might be fun. We're getting a whole direct for Animal Crossing next month.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been fun to like put him because everybody always talks about in the Nook store how like Timmy and Tommy, like there's that upstairs and you can't go to it. It's like they should have put him up there.
Oh yeah, put him in the shop.
Wait, yeah. Why not force people? Like, why not have him show up at the island and say, "Hey, I want to open a coffee shop." You know, move your shit around. Make it break people's islands up a little bit. I think that would be fun.
I would actually be all for that. I would be all for that, but I understand why they didn't want to do that.
He could destroy some.
Yeah. I would have been all for that.
He just destroys some portion of your island and is like, "Sorry, you know, corporations exist, and there's a coffee shop now where your pumpkin patch was."
So exactly. In my on my island, I have both the tailor shop. I still play Animal Crossing every day, by the way. So on my island, I have my Nook's Cranny, and then also the tailor shop in this one area. And then I've got a big open flat area below them that I use to store DIYs that I haven't really done lately. And then above them, there's just a big flower field. So I could definitely fit him in there and put him in my little shopping district. But a lot of people have built such unique, specific layouts where the entire island is themed around something. Like I saw somebody that built one island that was based on the second island in Pokemon Sun and Moon, and like the whole thing is laid out exactly like that. And so if they're actually still playing, I mean, let's be real, they're probably not, but if they're still playing, like, they would have to just redo so many things. So I definitely understand why.
But it's
they
a coffee
did it this way.
Shop. I mean it's a little right. coffee shop. They don't have to redo. It's a pretty big island.
So, I mean, the buildings can be pretty big though.
Yeah. Ah, blow it up though. Ah, come on. Got it. You have to teach these people about life. Life gets in the way sometimes.
Right. I mean, either way, I think Animal Crossing people are just relieved that they didn't forget about the game.
Yeah, and do it.
I would have liked to see like his own coffee shop, so you can like you're just sticking. It's like sticking baby in a corner, you know. Brewster should be out so, front and center.
So, do you guys remember what exactly the coffee shop did in previous games? Because I'm a little hazy on it. Pretty much all I remember is you go in, you get a cup of coffee for like 200 bells or a hot chocolate or whatever, and it's an item that they give you, and then there's like a conversation that happens, but. Like what could they do to actually make it interactive and like good in this game? What do you think, Michelle?
I don't know. I mean, I think.
See, it's hard, isn't it? To try to figure out what to do with that.
Didn't KK Slider?
Because I remember there was one Animal Crossing. Wasn't the coffee shop near like a concert hall or something?
So in New Leaf, it was just a building that pops up in the main town, and the club, which is what I think you're talking about, was in the north area, which was separated. So that it wasn't New Leaf, if that's what you're talking about. And I didn't play the DS or Wii ones, so it might have been one of those.
Yeah, I think there was like a club.
Well, KK Slider would perform in the coffee shop. That's what I remember.
I think that was the one on the Wii. I think that was the Wii one, City Folk, that I never played.
Yeah. Michelle, what more? So they're going to do this direct in October, and then I guess this update is going to be released November. We just don't know what the update is quite yet. Is there anything else that you want added besides just a barista?
I mean, I want new items. I want new DIY items. I would love if you could expand your island.
Make it bigger.
Yeah.
A basement. We want to.
I'd love to be able
basement.
To swim in the river, not just the ocean.
So, oh man, that how would that work? It's so narrow. Anyway,
that would.
One thing that I want them to add is in New Leaf, you could upgrade your house so much more than you could in this game. In this game, you can upgrade the main room, and then you can add the basement and the loft and the side rooms, but you can't make them bigger. And in New Leaf, you could make all of the rooms the same size as the main room. And that would be awesome because there's so many cool things that I would do if I could expand those. And it would it would never happen in a million years, but I think it would be incredible if they let me upgrade my villagers' houses and give them extra rooms. That would be incredible, and it's never going to happen, so I should just give that up now. But because my villagers, they just have this one tiny room. How come I'm the only one with a big house?
Oh, yeah.
I'll pay for
and
it.
And I wish like you could...
You're the 1%, Dylan.
Make I it totally like, am.
1%er going over here.
Make your house like a townhouse. So you have like more and more floors. So you get to just have. I have so much stuff, and it's just sitting in my
storage,
and my storage fills up, and I don't want to like get rid of all my
Guys,
stuff.
She updates me.
Some of them are like special items, and you can't like rebuy them if you want them.
She updates me on the number of miles she has almost every single night. She's like, I have 30,000 miles.
How many do you have?
That's another thing. They need to do something with the miles because I have over almost 400,000 Nook miles.
I have like 600,000. Do you guys remember when I was the Nook mile junkie and I did every... So there's only a few achievements that I have left to do. I have to do the birthday one. I have to do the KK Slider concert one. And I have to do the fishing one. And then I have to do Smile Isle. And that's probably going to be the last one I do. So yeah, please... Make it consistent for me doing favors for villagers because Smile Isle is going to take me 2 more years to finish at this point. So hopefully the coffee shop, it's like I can listen to somebody at the coffee shop and give them advice. And that counts for Smile Isle or something.
Oh, Lord. All right.
What is Smile Isle?
It's one of the Nook Mile achievements where you have to do favors for your villagers. And that includes like sometimes they'll ask you to find a hidden treasure, or they'll be sick. Yeah. Or they'll be sick and you give them medicine and that counts, or they'll say, hey, I'm really trying to get a red dragonfly, and you get that. And I'm at like 144 and the end goal is 300.
Oh my Lord.
So
yeah. See, like some of that stuff, like I'm so far out. I was like, I don't care.
All right.
Like the break your tools so many times and stuff.
I did that one. I did it with axes, because if you get a flimsy axe, it breaks so quick.
Oh yeah.
All right, yeah. You Animal Crossing nerds. We're gonna move on.
So we'll have to like come back together again after Animal Crossing Direct, because
totally.
We'll have to visit each other's island for the first week.
As someone who stopped playing Animal Crossing months ago, I'm excited to have a reason to play it again. So
yeah. I hope it brings a lot of people back.
Should.
Oh, and fix the speed. So like if I want to go visit somebody on their island,
you gotta hunker down, Michelle. You gotta camp out for that. it's like a 10-minute process just to talk to the freaking dodo.
Oh yeah.
All right. No more Animal Crossing. Here we go. We had Mario Golf Super Rush Koopa Troopa was announced with two courses. That is available right now.
Does literally anybody care?
Yes. My partner Drew is an addict. We just did a huge Mario Golf tournament for which I won $10 in eShop money, even though I stunk up the joint.
Richin over here.
The courses didn't look that exciting, but it's always fun to see a new character, I guess. Oh, and then I forgot Ninji.
Playable Ninji, finally. Yeah. We've been waiting for that.
He's cool. It looked like he had a little Breath of the Wild paraglider. It was pretty funny. We have Disney Magical World 2 Enchanted Edition. This is a port of the 3DS game. And if you remember a couple of years ago, Nintendo had said that they were moving 3DS games over to the Switch, and we really didn't know what they meant, but we've gotten...
What did we get besides this?
We got Miitopia.
Oh, yeah, and such a good port, too.
Miitopia, Disney. There's some other ones, too. I'm trying to remember, but we did get... I think we got some other ones.
Yeah, I'd have to look at my shelf and actually decide or figure out which ones it were. Yeah, there are a few that we got. Miitopia was a really good addition. Mm-hmm. This Disney one, probably the most important game revealed in the entire Direct. So
for sure.
I think Michelle, didn't you play
I played that game on 3DS, and I wouldn't mind playing it on the Switch.
Did you play the first one?
Somebody's excited for
the second one, or both?
I think I played both.
Okay. Yeah. I remember you
playing. It's actually kind of fun game. I mean, I thought it was fun, but
yeah. Don't step on Michelle's parade.
I'm sorry, Michelle.
That is coming out holiday this year. KOTOR, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Ryan, what did this look like to you? I've never played KOTOR.
I mean, it just looks like a port of the original, but the original is great. If you never
played original, was that PS2 Xbox original?
Yeah, I played it on Xbox originally.
Okay.
And I think it was actually an Xbox original or like exclusive, but I could be wrong, but... No, excellent game. I mean, it's a really fantastic... I haven't touched it since I originally played it. But, you know, like a really great BioWare RPG.
People love that game, dude.
It was really... I thought it was really groundbreaking for its time. I think, you know, if you're interested at all in the Star Wars universe, it's definitely worth playing.
Maybe I'll pick it up. I don't know.
It's not a great look that PlayStation 5 just announced they're doing a full KOTOR remake. And we're getting the port.
If it sucks, though.
Yeah.
Get really excited to play the old original KOTOR right as the new remake is coming out.
No, I will say, when people love an old game and sometimes you do a remake, you don't like the remake as much.
Yeah.
We'll see that a little bit later in this list. So maybe just having the original KOTOR is actually going to be better for Nintendo, but
It
comes out November 11th, the day after my birthday.
I'll definitely pick that up and play it for sure.
Sweet. Then we got announcements about Dying Light Platinum Edition coming out October 19th, Dying Light 2 Stay Human Cloud Edition. There's another cloud game for the Switch. They come out slowly, but every so often we get one. That one's February 4th, 2022. Triangle Strategy. I guess that's the name. I think I knew that they changed it, but Triangle Strategy got a release date March 4th. Raise your hand if you're going to play that. Woo! Yay!
Just us. All right.
50%. and there is a special edition that got announced for the UK. I haven't seen that confirmed here, but...
Oh, that was only UK?
Well, you know how it is. I think we'll get an announcement of that here.
Ooh, I really hope so, because... Yeah, God, it's like when what was a game that came out recently that didn't, Bravely Default 2 didn't have a special edition at all in the US, oh, and true. That bummed me out so bad.
Oh, I hope they.
So I really hope that comes over.
Yeah, I can't wait for this game. I actually didn't really like the demo, but I don't like demos a lot.
Really?
Well, they just drop you in the middle of the story, and like you have too many capabilities. I just want to play from the beginning. So it's demos like that always throw me for a loop. I can't wait to play it. It the demo wasn't for me.
So I played through the demo and did every branching story. I think there was only two, but still,
yeah,
I did play through the demo multiple times and did everything. And then I really enjoyed it. It's everything about Octopath that I liked, and it removes it what I didn't like, which
the story
I think is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Octopath just had the eight, like almost parallel stories that really didn't intermix. And, but everything about Octopath was great aside from that. So. And this one is on the same engine. And then Dragon's Quest 3 is going to be on this engine too. I think that's coming next year.
Is that on Switch though?
Yeah, I think that's on Switch.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I didn't know if it was on Switch or not.
Yeah, that's going to be great too. So, yeah. Then we got the coolest ass trailer I've seen in a long time. The Metroid Dread trailer. They've showed a lot of this game, especially recently. But my gosh, like that trailer was amazing. And the first thing I said to Michelle was, this is going to be like March 3rd, 2017, when everybody was playing Breath of the Wild at the same time. Everybody's going to be playing Metroid Dread at the same time on October 8th. And it's going to be fantastic to see. Are you guys all playing this or am I just
so? Yeah. I mean, I think I might be the only other person here that's going to get it.
Ryan.
So I'm poking fun at Ryan because it's like his most hyped game in the entire
getting this game. Yeah.
Okay, so my question is, when I saw that they were showing off Metroid Dread again, I just audibly like sighed because they have pushed this game so hard. There's nobody that has yet to be convinced if they're gonna get it or not.
But it was
so
such
why
a
are
cool
they marketing
trailer.
It so hard? Who cares? You're gonna get it anyway.
Oh, but it was such a cool
Everybody
trailer.
That wants it has decided that they're going to get it already. They're releasing all this. They're spoiling cool things about the story on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like this game would have been cool if they were just a little bit more. I mean, it's still going to be cool. This game would have been so much more exciting if they muted the advertising a little bit, because like we know everything about the game except
well,
for like
we
the
don't.
Ending.
We don't know
so
everything.
You say that, but yeah, but Nintendo does this all the time. I feel like they release a bunch of details and you're like, what's even going to be left in the story? And then you actually play the game.
Okay. Yeah. That's
and
a good
then
point.
You're like, oh, they only like, wow, that I thought that they showed so much, but it was only like the first quarter of the game.
Right. It's going to be amazing.
I think this was the first view of that new suit, right?
The very
I call it the various suit, but whatever, whatever it's going to be called in the game.
Okay. Yeah. I don't really have too much else to say about it. Game looks awesome. I'm excited for it. It's a direct sequel to my favorite Metroid game, so I'm incredibly excited to play it, and yeah, that's really all I got to say.
See, I won't be playing. Well, I'll play it, but John will play it first, so I have to wait.
You are not going to play this game. You should.
It's just Hollow Knight.
You should. Yeah, it's Hollow Knight with a real ending.
Well, we didn't get Silk Song, you know.
Yeah, and this one might have an easy mode, which would be nice.
If it has an easy mode, then sure, you're I'll play it.
All right.
I'm particularly excited about all the Chozo lore in Dread.
Oh, it's so rad.
That stuff has always been my favorite part in the whole like Metroid story. So like legit.
The Chozo lore. All right. Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack is what they are dubbing it. It is going to be some extra money, which they did not detail. And it is going to include N64 games and Genesis games, very fine collection. And you'll be able to buy for $50 each an N64 controller and a Genesis controller. All right. So how much more money do you think they're going
to
charge?
Finish cap on this.
That's GBA.
Yeah, that's GBA.
I know, but they need to add that too.
All she wants is Minish Cap. That's all she wants. And I have the Game Boy, but she doesn't want to play on the Game Boy.
I want to play it on Game Boy.
Play it on the Game Boy.
She's got demands, Nintendo.
I want on the Switch.
How?
To answer your question, John, I'm going to guess. So a single plan is $20. I'm going to guess it's going to go up to 30.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be $10 more because it's adding two more consoles. And the family plan is 35. I think that's going to go up to 50.
What? No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean,
I'm probably wrong.
Look, I mean, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in this because N64, I don't care about. We just got Mario 64 not too long ago. They're just N64 games. Genesis was a surprise. I think a lot of us foresaw the N64 recently, but Genesis kind of came out of nowhere. And there's some really good Genesis games on it. Sure, Sonic and Shining Force and a bunch of them, right? Rystar. But $10 is. I was thinking, like, if it was like $5 more, I might. We do the family plan at 35. If they said 40, same. I might do it. If it's 45 or 50, it's just
$5 more for 8 people.
Is it 8? No, it's 7. But
it's 8.
Is it
8? I have 8 on mine.
Oh, who do I have on ours then? Because I have all of us.
You might only have 7.
And 2 friends' kids. Well. I don't think that's worth. I would never pay $15 more for a year.
Think I'm gonna upgrade just because, like you said, I really don't care about N64. Okay, so there was like 90 N64 games released in America.
Wait, 90?
And all of those that I care about, it is not a lot.
No, well, 90 first party.
No, 90 total in the U.S. Let me Google
it
right now.
No, it's like 300 or something.
N64
still, that's
games,
not a lot.
Because it was like. You know, that whole 3D is hard. Some of those games are hard to like watch.
Yeah,
they make you feel ill.
They didn't age well. I mean, they're not. I think that these editions,
300,
like,
right, John.
There's like 6 people who are excited about this and like all these games. I think it's ridiculous that they're going to actually ask us to pay more for these. It's just.
Now, if you include like N64 and like GameCube and Wii.
GBA, throw GBA in there, I would pay
like,
for $10.
Sure,
make
it worth my while.
We didn't get the Game Boy. Remember, that was being heavily rumored that Game Boy was coming. We didn't get Game Boy.
I guess not.
I wonder what that rumor was.
I looked it up, John. There was 296 games released in North America.
Yeah.
I think the 90 must have been first party, like you
were saying. It is one of the smallest. I think it's the smallest library, if you don't count like Virtual Boy.
Even Wii U is a bit bigger than that.
What did you just say? The Wii U.
I think the Wii U had more games released.
Oh, I don't know. I think the Wii U actually has less.
Oh, I'm checking.
I think
right
you're
now.
Off on all the numbers today, Dylan.
I probably am.
I think there's like 180 or something like that Wii U games. It is such a small library for such a cool system.
I mean, it also had like a lot of digital only games, so that's not exactly fair, but
yeah, this is just physical. I think it's like 180.
Yeah,
I think it does spoil
168.
Damn, I'm good. I think this was interesting. I'm interested in those controllers just to have all of them, but yeah,
I could not care less about those.
That N64 controller.
The collector in me wants them, but the person who doesn't want to just keep throwing money at Nintendo when they do stupid stuff does not want it. So
I'm going to say right now, I say it all the time, that Genesis controller is the worst controller in console history. Putting three buttons.
It's somehow worse.
Three
somehow
buttons
worse than the N64.
Side by side. No, it's just so hard to go from A to C because the buttons are all laid out. That's why all the new controllers have like a diamond shape. Every button is next to a button. But, you know, going from A to C, oh my God, it's just the most dreadful controller.
Yeah, but most of those Genesis games, you only ever need one button anyway.
Nah, that's just,
right.
Just not true.
You know what
Ryan
was missing?
What?
In this direct, Amiibos. Have they officially died?
Oh, you're right. We didn't get a single Amiibo announced.
No,
they really need to do another reprint on the Celeste or
Celeste. Corrin.
They should make a Celeste amiibo.
Which one?
The last. Oh, Corrin. That's the one.
Yeah, Corrin.
Yeah, They've done a lot of
going for like $250 a piece now.
I don't know what their motivation would be. So yeah, we're going to get more information about that. Sounds like pretty soon, and it's going to come out late October. So we should hear that fairly soon. Especially how much
I'm happy they're not forcing us to upgrade.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. It's at least an option, but I'm still peeved about this entire thing. But yeah, we can move on.
Maybe they'll change their mind. Maybe they'll just change their mind and just give it to us for free.
No, they won't. Nintendo loves money.
Or they can give it to you if you buy the controller. How about that? If you buy a controller, you get the games. Very smart of me.
You're thinking of stuff that would have been relevant to like a conversation predicting this, but they've already decided what they're going to do.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, there was a bunch of other crap that was announced. I'm not going to go through it all. Most notably, though, Castlevania GBA Collection that had been rumored.
Ooh, big deal.
That is out right now. ActRaiser, an HD remaster, which came out of freaking nowhere. That is out right now. And then Deltarune Chapter 2. That's the third game in the Undertale series. That is coming out. That should be out right now as well. So anybody excited about any of these?
Nope.
No.
No. I mean,
I think it's cool that they're doing that Undertale, the Deltarune one came out.
I
played the original Undertale. I never actually beat it, which is an embarrassing thing to admit, but
I will say when the bear came up for Deltarune, that John said that looked like me.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't say it looked like you. I said it acted like you. There's a big difference there.
Okay.
I played Undertale and I loved it. Although it was one of those games that got really overhyped by people. And when you see the graphics, you're like, oh, this is Undertale? Like, you know, the graphics are not amazing or anything, but it's all made by one guy. And the game has a really great story. It has a lot of soul to it. And I did enjoy it, but I played it just like a normal RPG, which meant like I killed everything. But in Undertale, you can actually not kill a single thing the entire game. And you just basically avoid their attacks and then just like plea for peace. And so you can go the whole game. So I actually played through it a second time later, like a year later. And I did a full, I think what they call like a peace run or whatever it is. And I did not get a different ending because once you play the game and you play it again, it remembers your first playthrough. So I had killed various characters and flowers and that sort of thing. So I didn't get the ending that I wanted, even though I spent the time to do it. What you need to do is reset your data and then play it through on a peace run. So I was pissed off. Then I played Deltarune Chapter 1, and I did not like Deltarune Chapter 1. It's similar looking, but it was kind of a different game, and I really didn't like it. So if Chapter 2 gets good reviews, I'll play through all the games again. I didn't like Deltarune. By the way, Deltarune is a what do you call it? A mishmash of Undertale, if you didn't notice.
And what was the other one you mentioned, the Castlevania GBA collection?
Yeah.
I'll probably actually pick that up once it like goes on sale on an impulse buy.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy those games on the GBA, so.
Yeah, I haven't played any of them, but yeah, I think there's some good ones on there. All right. Okay. This was an announcement I don't think anybody expected. Miyamoto comes out. I immediately thought he was going to retire in the direct.
Oh, man, I was really hoping for that Pikmin 4. You know I was.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh, my God. And he announces that the Mario movie is coming out December 21st, 2022. We still haven't seen a trailer for it. We knew it was coming, but we have no information on it, except that it's made by the same people that did the Minions movies. And he announces this cast list, and I'm going to say right up front, this is the best cast in a movie ever.
It is very star-studded, for sure. It's packed full of A-list Hollywood stars.
Exactly.
So I actually I have a list of them already.
So we don't have to, you know,
to see them.
I have a list here, so I'll just go ahead and read them off, and then we can talk. Okay. So Chris Pratt is going to be Mario. Charlie Day is going to be Luigi. Anya Taylor-Joy is Peach. Jack Black is Bowser. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong, and then there was a couple other supporting ones.
Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong.
Yeah. Can't miss that
one. Oh, my God, this cast.
I love that Luigi's going to be Charlie Day.
Yep.
Because that's going to be hilarious.
It's going to be so good.
And Keegan-Michael Key as a Toad, that's going to be...
So
I do think it's kind of lame that they did not allow...
Charles Martinet.
Yeah, that they're replaced. He's still going to be in it, apparently, but...
He's going to do
Chris
like...
Pratt is going
to
do the voice.
You can't listen to Charles Martinet's Mario for an hour and 45 minutes. You would go insane.
I don't know if I can listen to Chris Pratt for an hour and 45 minutes as Mario.
Yeah, I really don't know what to think of this. Like, I really didn't know what it was going to be, like, at all. And when we... So the two examples that we have for, like, good video game movies were the Sonic the Hedgehog movie in 2019 and then Detective Pikachu, which I think was also 2019. And I really actually liked both of those. So I'm thinking this is probably going to be in the same boat for me. I really wanted the Sonic movie to be bad. And it was good. Like, I wanted it to be so bad that it was good, you know?
It was okay. I mean, it wasn't great.
I liked it.
When they first show what Sonic was going to look like before they fixed it, it looked bad.
I really wish they kept that. I really wish they did.
Release the original cut.
but back to these guys. I'm excited to watch it because, like, it's either actually going to be good or it's going to be so bad it's good. I feel like it's going to be one of those two.
It can't be bad. Put it this way. Nintendo is not going to release it if it's not good. They'll eat up the money. They have a ton of it. They're not going to release a bad movie again. They went through it for, 30, 40 years with the first Mario movie. It's got to be great.
Which is still... literally a punchline. Like, everybody still points to that movie as, like, bad video game movie.
Guys, Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong. I mean, how is this movie going to be bad?
Jack Black on Bowser? What?
It's going to be hilarious.
It's going to be so good. And it's funny because the star power in this movie, I think, kind of blows away Sonic a little bit. So it is a little funny to see.
Who is Anya Taylor-Joy? I've never heard of her.
She's the star of Queen's Gambit. She's great.
Oh, the chess show. Yeah.
She's also in...
She's in Peaky Blinders. She's in a bunch of stuff now.
I've never watched... I'm going to look her up on IMDb and see if I recognize her because...
She's great. If you haven't seen
I've never
Queen's
watched
Gambit,
Queen's Gambit.
If you haven't watched Queen's Gambit...
I need to watch it.
It's incredible,
I mean, Chris Pratt is not my favorite person, but he can be funny.
Yeah. It'd be good.
I don't have any issues with Chris Pratt. Just him as Mario is my issue. I just don't think he's going to be a good Mario.
Don't know what he's going to do.
Guys, Heath Ledger is going to be a horrible Joker. I'm just telling you right now.
That's okay. Point taken, but it's still anti-Italian discrimination by having Chris Pratt be Mario.
Okay, so I looked up K-Mac is being played by Kevin Michael Richardson, and I was like, who is that? He's just done voiceover. He's had a long career. Kevin Michael Richardson was Goro in the original Mortal Kombat movie. So, I mean, from Goro to K-Mac is amazing to me.
Who's Sebastian?
I looked him up. I don't really know him all that much. He doesn't have a long career, so he must be perfect for... Who is Spike? Spike is the Spike.
He's like from Wrecking Crew. He's like the most obscure character possible.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. We actually heard about somebody being, I heard this on a different podcast I listened to about like that. He was actually revealed a while ago.
Okay.
Like Spike as that guy. And everybody was like, who's Spike? And then it was like, oh, he's this one guy in Wrecking Crew, which is technically a Mario game. So, yeah,
good
I mean,
Lord.
That kind of it might be an interesting story then if they're gonna bring in like Wrecking Crew, right?
Yeah, I know that's actually something that sounds like it could be better because of that. So
I think it's gonna be amazing. I can't wait to go see it. And it's gonna be a Christmas movie.
It comes out on my friend's birthday.
Wow.
So we're gonna have a little get together and go see it.
Hey, nice.
All right, the final.
I wonder if they'll have like Goombas.
The final two games are the two biggest ones of the presentation. Although the first one we kind of knew about, Splatoon 3, it was revealed that the campaign is called Return of the Mammalians. Dylan, I have no clue what that reference is. Tell me about Splatoon 3.
All right. So the whole concept, and you kind of learn this in the first Splatoon game on the Wii U, the whole concept is that all the humans went extinct and it's just sea creatures now. So the whole idea is that the mammals are returning, and that's why they're all hairy and stuff, because sea creatures don't have hair. So,
okay. They really showed this trailer, like they were glitching it out and showing little, like almost like micro segments from various parts. So there was, I think, a lot spoiled.
They did that in both the first games.
Okay.
With the little distortion where it's like, oh, this is the Octarians. And it's like, obviously they're still Octarians, you can see, but I don't know how they're going to pull this off. Like, am I going to fight monkeys? Like dogs, cats, like what's going to go on with that? And because the only mammal that we have is Judd. That's the only mammal that's ever been in the game.
A cat. Isn't there two cats?
Yeah, there's Judd and then a baby clone Judd.
Oh, okay. Man, you know the lore of Splatoon a little too well. I'm kind of frightened.
Well, you play like every Saturday.
I mean, I haven't for a little while, like the pandemic kind of messed that up. But, I mean, I do have like 1,000 hours in Splatoon 2. And probably like 300 in Splatoon 1.
He's kind of a big deal. Now,
so but if you want, I can get into some of the new content that was shown off in the trailer with like the verses.
Well, yeah, that was my question. My question really is, what did you see that was maybe different in this that we haven't seen before? Because I couldn't pick out anything that was different. And you know, there's going to be some different stuff.
Incredible that you didn't notice. All of the specials they showed off are brand new.
Those are. But I mean, in terms of like the gameplay.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, there was a couple new weapons they showed off. I didn't really pay too close attention to the actual weapons. I'll probably go through and watch it slowly. I'm pretty sure the only map they showed was a map that was in Splatoon 1, but it's not in Splatoon 2, called Museum de Alfonsino, which is exciting that they're bringing that back. And then they showed off a couple new specials. They showed off one that was like a grappling hook where you can grapple to anywhere you want, and your character kind of just gets covered in ink. So maybe you're invincible, but probably not. And then there was a special that's like a crab mech where you get in a crab and then you crawl around and shoot
bombs. Oh, that was the awesome part.
And then there was like some sort of force field. It kind of reminds me of the killer whale from the first game, but it's like a bubble that you can hide in. So I'm guessing that's like a force field. And then I don't know if it was a special, but it did show the character super jumping like to the opponent's base. So I think there might be some sort of special where you can jump to anywhere on the map you want.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that there weren't going to be bases because they spawn out of floating blocks. And I was, because that's one thing that, like, when you play a game of Splatoon, if you're getting dominated and you start to get your base surrounded, you can get like wiped off the map. And I wondered if they were going to try to maybe like spawn you randomly in places or something like that, but maybe not.
So from what I can tell, that's only for the very beginning of the game.
Okay.
And then you still spawn from your spawn, which sucks. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong where that's not the case. Or maybe they were just super jumping over there because it was the other end of the map and they could sneak up on their opponents or whatever. So I don't know.
So still coming out 2022. We don't really have an idea of what time frame it would be.
So I'm guessing. So Splatoon 1 came out in May 2017. 2015. Okay. It came out the year after Smash 4. And then Splatoon 2 came out in April 2017.
I think it was June.
July. It was July. It was after my trip to New York. So I'm guessing that this is going to come out somewhere in between April and July. It's going to be like right in that time slot, I think.
Right before the summer break would be great, I guess.
Which sucks because that's when the Monster Hunter expansion is coming out. But
yeah, I was going to say, yeah, spring 2022 is Kirby as well. So it might be a very busy spring and summer.
I mean, I'm super excited for Splatoon 3. It looks like pretty much just what Splatoon 2 did, where they just take what was good about the previous game and then make it better.
Yeah.
So I'm incredibly excited for it. They don't need to show anything else for me to be excited for it, but I'm excited. It just looks like a better version of what we already have, and the story looks fun, how you're like going and fighting all these mammals and it's going to be interesting. I love all the wacky world building that Splatoon does, because it doesn't need to do that, but it does it anyway.
Yep. And I hope they have a mode just like the salmon run stuff.
Oh yeah, they didn't show off anything except for Turf War and single player. So I hope that they show off like a new ranked mode, because we only got one new ranked mode in Splatoon 2.
Exactly.
The city looks different. Is the city different? It looks different.
Yeah, yeah. So every Splatoon game, well, I mean, I say every, but there's only three, have their own little hub. And this one, they actually gave it a name. They actually called it Chaos.
I thought it was like Splatland, which I'm guessing is just something like that.
It's like, this is the Splatlands and this city is chaos. Oh, okay. And I'm pretty sure the reason they're doing that is because, I mean, I'm probably misremembering that. But the reason they're doing that is because the final Splatfest of Splatoon 2 was Chaos versus Order and Chaos 1.
Oh.
And they did the same thing with Splatoon 2, where they took the results of the final Splatfest and used them in the new game. That's so right. That's exciting. I think the city looks like a crowded New York road. So I'm excited to see what they do with that, because the previous ones have been very much like a suburb, like kind of like Denver, where it's not crazy, but it's obviously a city. And this one literally looks like a downtown city.
Wow. What if they just had a perfectly rendered Denver for like a Splatoon game?
That'd be so stupid.
All right.
I'm excited for Splatoon. Except I probably won't be able to play since I'm canceling my Nintendo.
Oh, come on. You are not. So.
John might have a room on his family plan.
Didn't they just do the renewal? Didn't you just get on the renewal?
It was in September, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what they'll do about it.
Do you think they didn't announce the price hike? And it's not a price hike. It's just an expanded tier until after the renewals this time, because they're like, whoa, we don't want people like Ryan just to like quit out of like anger.
100%.
You're locked in now.
For sure. Yeah. They knew that this was going to piss people off. That's why they did this.
All right. And then last but not least, and certainly not least, because it's first, we finally, after almost four freaking years, and last I saw on the count, it was like over 1,300 days, got any information whatsoever on Bayonetta 3.
John was drooling, guys.
I recognized it right away. Did I not, Michelle?
You did.
Right away, because the first scene, you see Platinum written on one of the buildings.
Yeah, and that's what tipped me off.
And I knew that Nintendo was not going to show a Platinum trailer and not make it Bayonetta 3 at this point. And there was a little sliver of doubt when the dog, because that's from Astral Chain. And I said, oh my God, it's Astral Chain 2. And then they kind of did the whole, you see Bayonetta coming down through the glare and the sword or whatever. I'll say the new, every game, Bayonetta has a different character model. And like, she looks amazing in this one. She is based on herself as a child. If you played the first game, she sees herself as a child, and that she looks just like that. That's where the hair came from. Just more makeup.
I did see how her hair looked very childlike. Yeah,
the game has a new art director from what I've seen. And unfortunately, there was some hubbub in the last couple of weeks that the voice actress, Helena Taylor, might not be working on this game. And I think people who have a much better ear than I just knew that that wasn't Helena Taylor in the trailer. So it might be a different.
No.
Now, everyone's got a good Bayonetta impression, even the guys. But yeah, it is upsetting. I mean, that's been part of why I've been upset with the Bayonetta franchise for the last 4 years, just not getting information and then hearing the voice actress and then hearing the Platinum people complain that Nintendo won't show the game. So I'm hoping like everything can get soothed. I don't know why Helena Taylor wouldn't be in this game.
She probably wanted more money.
Give her the money. Like, I mean, she's incredible.
For example, in Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive, the voice actor for Melia was new in the little DLC they had, because that was like her first gig, was working on Xenoblade Chronicles in 2012, and then she ended up getting something way bigger and Nintendo could not afford to bring her back. So I'm guessing it's something like that.
Yeah, this is one character. It's not like a cast. It's one character and she's iconic in the role. Just pay her. Like, come on, just pay her the money.
So speaking of like the whole trailer, so when it first showed the trailer, all I saw was like the Shibuya Square. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what this is. Maybe it's Shin Megami Tensei 5. And then I was like, it can't be, because they showed Shin Megami Tensei 5 in the sizzle reel earlier. And then I was like, I really don't know what it is. And then as soon as I saw the dog, I was like, oh, it's Astral Chain. And then when it ended up being Bayonetta, I was like, oh, because it's Platinum Games.
Right. Yeah, it made sense that this was the final one. They're going to do something big. I'd have been pissed if it was Astral Chain 2 and knowing that they pumped out two of those games before Bayonetta 3. And I liked Astral Chain. I didn't love Astral Chain, but I liked it. I'd have been happy for a second game. But yeah, I mean, it looks incredible. I honestly thought that they were going to completely reboot the game a la sort of the God of War series and make it a kind of a different looking game, but it really looked similar to the other games. So it makes me wonder, you know, when did they start working on this game? And like, is this 4 years of work? But I'm excited
they,
for it.
They mentioned it in 2017.
They mentioned it December 2017.
When did they mention Silk Song?
After that. But that, I mean, like, this is Platinum's signature franchise and signature character and all that jazz. It's their, you know, it's their highest rated. I think they do the Nier games too, but I mean, yeah, this is like big. And yeah, one of the noticeable differences in the play action is that in the, like, the bottom left of the screen, like, you can use your D-pad to bring out bigger monsters. And I saw after the direct that in the game, there are these like finisher moves you can do, which are mostly just automated. So if you're like fighting a character and you do a finisher move, you might run them through a guillotine and just slash their head off or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just part of like the addictive nature of the game. But like here, you actually can summon monsters. And they did show like almost like these Godzilla battles that were going on. And I'm not sure if that ties in exactly with it, but you can summon these monsters and you see Bayonetta kind of on the ground. And then you're controlling the monster up above.
Didn't they do that during one of the battles?
Out of her back.
What's that again?
Oh, I said the monster like came out of her back or something.
Yeah, well, she does the move where her hair sort of like her outfit comes off of her body. They don't show nudity, but it's like implied nudity. And so that's kind of a thing. But like with these Nintendo Directs, they censor it a lot more. I think the game will be, you know, a lot more of like the R rating that the games usually have. But in the directs, they always tamper that down, make it look a little more tame. So this looks amazing. I love the look of her. She has the makeup and everything. I love the look of her. I love her hair. I wish we'd get an amiibo. I want a new amiibo because we have two Bayonetta amiibos. One is the version, the first game model, and the other one's a second game model. But like, she just looks so darn good in this one. So what'd you say, Ryan?
So I'm sorry, go ahead,
Ryan. Wasn't there a battle in the second one where she kind of like almost that Godzilla type battle where you kind of fight as that? Because that's what it reminded me of when I saw that. But there was only one of those battles. And it seems like from the trailer that's going to be a big
thing. When you fight like a lot of the boss characters in all the games, especially the second game, these big characters come out of her and they're like big. I mean, we saw that character in this trailer as well. Like regular fighting and stuff, it's not something that happens. It's usually like a big moment of the game. So it looks like here you can summon anytime. I don't know if it's sort of like an RPG thing, like Final Fantasy, where you like summon a beast with some like mana or whatever. But clearly there's a change in the gameplay, which is good. But like the game overall, like there was a part where she was like fighting on a train. I thought that was a cool scene too. So that's a little bit different because she's usually in these very, you know, bigger worlds. I can't wait to see more about this one. And we need a Nintendo Special Edition. We need a Collector's Edition. We need, like, I don't want to stop here.
John's taking out a second mortgage to...
Yeah.
So I do want to... I do want to add a quick correction. I was wrong. So Jenna Turner, I think was her name, is the voice actress for Melia, and they did bring her back for Definitive. So they have no excuse for Bayonetta not getting the original voice actor.
How much could she be asking? $1 million? That's not worth it. Like, she's iconic.
I don't know. I mean, there might be something else. Maybe her voice got messed up. Maybe she can't do it. Like, there could be any reason. You never know.
Yeah, and maybe we're wrong. Maybe it was her. A lot of people said it didn't sound like her. Who knows? Maybe they just used. It could be they just used a different voice for the trailer. They haven't recorded her vocals yet, and they didn't want her to know that the game was coming out, and now they're going to call her up and do it. But if the fan base gets angry enough, maybe they'll just replace whatever poor voice actress they hired to do it.
Oh, that's sad. That's so sad.
But come on. Like, I mean, she's Bayonetta, so I don't know. All right. Totally amazing. Let's wrap this up. I want to get final thoughts, and I want to grade from each of you on what you thought about this Nintendo Direct. Let's start with Ryan.
This Direct, I give it like a solid B. B+. It was you know, I think that the new Kirby was a really cool addition. I got my release date for Disco Elysium finally. A little disappointed in some of the things, like the Nintendo Switch Online thing is really still grating on me, so they're definitely losing some points on that. But no, I think overall, lots of good info. The Bayonetta 3 trailer or video, obviously, good stuff there too. So yeah, I'd give it solid B+.
Okay, awesome. All right, Michelle?
I will give it... I'll agree with Ryan. I'll give it a B+.
Michelle, what besides Animal Crossing was the biggest deal to you?
KOTOR, obviously.
probably Kirby.
Yeah? You excited for that one?
Probably Kirby? Of course it was Kirby.
Well, man, I like Kirby.
Or that Disney game.
The Disney game, too. And the movie announcement.
Oh, my God.
They didn't show anything, so it's hard to, like, have a opinion based. But the actors are picking. Looks like it's going to make it fun, so.
Oh, hell yeah.
My grade will probably go up if the direct for Animal Crossing in October is really good.
Yeah.
So it all depends.
Well, that's like its own thing.
Yeah. So it all depends on how well that goes.
I'm going to mark you down as a B+, but incomplete.
Exactly.
You reserve. And now if.
Please see me.
Yes.
Please see me after class.
Yes.
All right, Dylan, what did you think?
Okay, so I go into directs nowadays very, very pessimistic because I always get my hopes up and then Pikmin 4 is never revealed. So,
I want to interrupt Dylan for a second. I just want to point out every indie world ever, Dylan has said, I didn't like any of that crap. This is a very
hard
man to please.
The last indie direct, we got Tetris Effect, which I was incredibly excited for.
I don't remember that. I feel like you're changing history. All right, go on.
Anyway, I go into them pretty pessimistic because I'm sick of being let down. So we had the direct where Monster Hunter Rise was revealed, and that blew me away. Like, that was probably like S, and that was a partner direct. That wasn't even a normal Nintendo Direct,
right.
So that blew me away. And then, going back to this one, usually a Direct gets like a B if there's at least one thing I'm really excited for. So this one we had, speaking strictly new stuff, because like talking about, I don't know, triangle strategy, I was going to get that anyway, so I can't really consider that in my grade. The Monster Hunter DLC, I knew that was coming eventually, at least I hoped it was coming eventually, and now I know it is, and I'm incredibly excited to play that game more because at this point, none of my friends want to play that game anymore because there's nothing to do. The Kirby game blew my expectations out of the water. I never would have expected an open world Kirby game. What the mm-hmm. hell? So that alone brings it up to at least an A-. And then what else was big in there for me?
Splatoon.
What did I talk about? Splatoon. Again, Splatoon. Not new. I already knew that it was happening. But it looked awesome. I'm really excited that they're bringing all those cool new specials in. And I think that was all I really cared about. So I'll give it a flat A.
Okay. That's a good score for you.
Yeah. So when I grade these, I generally just take what I really liked about it and then ignore everything else. like the N64 games, like, I mean, cool. I have all the games that I would want to play on Virtual Console on my Wii U. So, I mean, if it wasn't for having Kirby in there, it would probably be like a B-.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and agree with you. I'm going to give it an A. I'm excited for Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, even though I haven't played the game in quite a while. I have gone back to it once or twice in the past, and I do want to get the Mega Man dog. But like, it's almost perfect that it comes out in summer. If it was coming out like next week, I'd be like, screw it. I'm not playing it.
Oh, there's no way in hell they'd release
right.
that.
Soon. But
they got to hype this up,
man. The fact that it's coming out in the summer, it says like, okay, I got 9 months to get back in this game. And, you know, so I'll probably get back into it. I was excited to see Disco Elysium wasn't canceled. A little disappointed that the digital physical divide exists. I'm definitely not going to buy it digitally.
That's so frustrating, man. Yeah. Cause I'm always physical. So like with Bug Fables, for example, we talked about this.
Oh my gosh.
I pre-ordered the physical Bug Fables to my brother and one of my best friends has played Bug Fables and they say, Dylan, you would love this game. And it's always on sale for like 10 bucks, but I can't play it because I know that the physical one is coming out in another 6 years.
Exactly.
So,
So that one I'll have to wait. It's fine. Cause I honestly wouldn't be able to play it in October anyway. Kirby and the Forgotten Land looks awesome. I can't wait to just play through every little aspect of that one. We mentioned Triangle Strategy. I'm hyped that we have a date now, and March 4th doesn't feel very far away. It is still 6 months away, but it doesn't feel very far away.
That's going to hold me over until we get a new Fire Emblem.
Yeah, at one point I thought we were going to get a Fire Emblem, but that was the Voice of Cards game.
Yeah, that totally looked like the same art style.
So. The Mario movie just came out of nowhere. I was losing hope on it. As an SNL fan, I think every character on here has hosted or been on SNL. So, I mean, this is just fantastic to me. I can't wait to see Charlie Day as Luigi. My lordy. It's going to be fantastic. Jack Black as Bowser, Seth Rogen. The fact that Donkey Kong's even in it is actually a surprise.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me because I figured that wouldn't happen.
I mean, so. I don't know if he's going to be high or whatever. It's Seth Rogen, but.
Who knows, man?
It was.
Donkey Kong was in with Mario when he, the first Mario, right? Where he's going up the.
Was he?
The different levels?
The first Mario game was Donkey Kong. Yeah. But Donkey Kong is just, he's kind of similar to Yoshi and Wario where they're their own franchises at this point.
Are you talking about the movie though, Michelle? The movie?
No, I'm just saying Donkey Kong in general was.
Yeah. You get the feeling.
They were together at one time.
You get the feeling there's going to be another Mario universe character they haven't mentioned yet. And
I hope it's Wario.
Run up to the hype. It's going to be.
Oh yeah, Yoshi. Who's going to be Yoshi?
Yoshi, Wario, Luigi, Waluigi.
Luigi.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see more as we go on.
If Donkey Kong's there, then Wario and Yoshi are free game.
Yeah.
Yoshi's got to be there.
He'll be in there. Splatoon 3, it was good to see details. We didn't, we learned a little bit, but whatever. I'm still waiting for it to come out. And then of course the fact that we got Bayonetta 3 should make this an A+. I thought the trailer wasn't the best it could be. I've been imagining the trailer for 4 years now in my head, and I felt like it was a little understated, especially once she jumps down and it's like, I know that's Bayonetta. And then they do this slow pan up. Like, we don't know that's Bayonetta. So I thought the trailer could be better, and it kind of went on for a little bit in the beginning, but
that was the end of the direct. They could do as much as they want with that.
I know. And we'll see another trailer. Maybe they're saving the really good trailer for later, but, yeah.
I think it's funny that you were mad at Nintendo for Platinum saying, hey, we're ready to show it off.
Yeah, man, show it off.
Nintendo won't let us. And then there's a Nintendo direct. Like, of course you would want it to be in a direct.
Sure. But I mean, I feel like they meant before, maybe even in June, they could have shown something, and I don't know. I felt
it's not going to change the release.
It's like when your parents are fighting. It's like, I don't want you guys to fight, man. I want Platinum and Nintendo to have this great relationship with each other.
John, what's your take on that guy at the end of the trailer? Do you know anything about Dante?
From the Devil May Cry?
So one of my friends thinks it looks like Virgil, who's from Devil May Cry. But
okay. I haven't played
those Capcom
games.
Like, what the hell? That's not.
No, well, it's a Platinum. Well, it's not Platinum. The guy who makes Bayonetta made Devil May Cry. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
If you look at the history, I think the original Devil May Cry came from the same guy. I think it's Kamiya. I think that's the lore of it. But yeah, I wasn't sure. Some people said it looks like Dante. I don't really know who it is, but I mean,
I think it's a brand new character.
Yeah, there's definitely more for this tale. And also, we now know that the initial teaser from December of 2017 was horse crap. They're if you remember,
you mean just the number three? They
showed some us? Beast shoots Bayonetta and she falls into pieces. Her legs come apart, and that was just
fake?
Bullshit. They didn't know what Bayonetta 3 was going to be, and they just had a graphic designer make an animation, and he's like, "All right, we won't show her. We certainly can't have her talk, and so we'll make her fall apart." And so it was just kind of like, "Oh, okay." I remember being interested in what the story might be, and it's like, "Oh, okay, that's not the story at all. Completely different." I mean, she's got all this makeup on. She looks more colorful. It's like totally different, mood than that teaser. So whatever. I'm not mad about it. But that was confirmed today. Michelle, we're going to be watching the trailer a few times tonight, so just let you know.
I just hope that they don't make us wait too long in October for the Animal Cross Direct.
It's going to be October 31st at 11 p.m.
Probably, because then November, they're like, oh, here's Brewster. It's like, screw you guys.
It's going to release November 30th. All right. Well, that was super fun. It was so nice to be on with you guys. We don't get to see each other.
Thanks for having me.
This was fun. This was great.
It was fun to talk about it with you guys.
Maybe we can be the direct crew, and then next direct, we can talk about that, and then Dylan will be unhappy because there was no Kirby. Because
it won't have Kirby.
Yeah.
I feel like Ryan needs to be on your episode 69.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
We'll have him on there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, these last few directs have pleasantly surprised me and also not given me what I was expecting. Like, I really want Xenoblade X to be ported, or I really want Pikmin 4. And it's giving me stuff that I didn't know I wanted, which I think is really interesting. Like, I didn't expect Splatoon 3 on the Switch at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of how all these directs are now, where, Splatoon 3 totally came out of left field. This Kirby game totally came out of left field. But then, the games, the stuff you want to hear about, just crickets, silence.
Yeah, it's weird. But I'm all for it.
Yeah, we're happy. All right, guys. Good night, y'all. Say good night to everybody.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night, guys. Thanks for having us.
The Dads After Dark Show is a part of the Nintendo Dads family of podcasts. You can subscribe to us anywhere podcasts are available, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Be sure to join us on the Nintendo Dads Discord in the Dads After Dark Show channel for some naughty After Dark talk. Follow us on Twitter at @NDadsAfterDark. Ask us a question and we may answer it on the show. That's all for tonight. Good night, Dads. Sweet dreams.